Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, the host. Today, we have an extraordinary opportunity to have a conversation that we don't really have too often in the industry about how we work and think about technology and HR, that symbiotic relationship, how it establishes a culture, how it actually establishes long-term growth and success for businesses. And on us here today is Asanka Abhisingan. And Asanka, you're actually the Chief Technology Officer at WSO2. And you wanted to come on an HR podcast as a Chief Technology Officer. Hey, thank you very much for accepting that. But this is an important conversation. From VC firms and PE companies, they all invest in people first, ideas second. So the idea of how do we all think about how do we invest in our people and in our culture and things like that, very important. So I'm so happy that you're on the podcast here today. Before we dig in, I'd love to just give you an opportunity to expand a little bit on your background, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for inviting, and it's a pleasure to be here. So as you said, yes, it's a little strange. I usually join in many technical podcasts, but as you said, people is a key factor. It's interesting, and there's a synergy between technology and people. So I think we can dig in deep. To give a little bit about my background, I'm coming from application architecture and application development background. Being in the industry for more than, I think, nearly two decades now, had many roles, started my career as a programmer and then architect and then various other management roles. And as you said, now currently I'm working as a chief technology officer or CTO for WSO2. So CTO stands for chief technology officer, but I call myself as the chief travel officer because I travel a lot to meet customers and then help them. And I live in Folsom, California. I used to live in the San Francisco Bay Area and moved to Folsom during pandemic. And Folsom is a tech city. It's a nice place to live. So I'm here with my wife and two teenagers, as well as I have two dogs. So that's about me.
Fantastic. That's a major accomplishment, a father of two teenagers. I have four. That's a whole other podcasting conversation right there. But here's what I'd love to do. I'd love to just ask you, just outright at the start here, why talk about culture? Why is culture in alignment with HR? Why is that an important subject to be talking about today?
Yeah. Before we jump into the culture, I would like to make a slight correction. I don't like to call it HR. I like to call it as people operations. Even at WSO2, we call it as people operations because people are not resources. They are very valuable assets. So that's one thing. And culture and people, as well as the business, all these are interconnected. And why culture is important? Because the culture is not something that you put in your operational books or hang on the banners inside the organization walls, or you give some kind of a flyer and then share it with people. It's about how you operate and how you treat people. So that's how the culture. And culture is an evolving thing, and you have to evolve. But then again, it comes with the roots of the organization. And most of the time, I think it's about how founder thought about what's the mission and what's the vision that they are having. I think the best example is Apple. Still, Apple is following the culture created by Steve Jobs, and that's one of their success. And I think another good example is what Elon is doing with his organization, and it's about team. And around him, all the cultural aspects are there. And even if you take WSO2, our founder and CEO is Sanjeeva Veeravarna. So Dr. Sanjeeva Veeravarna. And I think our culture also rooted based on how he wanted to have the operational aspects, how he wanted to treat people. So I think that's why it's very important. Because why I'm bringing this founder and a culture, because all these things are related to where you want to be and where you want to take the organization and what's the big purpose. Like, as example, you might be manufacturing something to service some kind of purpose. But then again, you might have a bigger thing. As example, take a company who's providing electronic vehicles. Yes, the purpose is cost saving and all this stuff, but there's a bigger purpose of saving the planet. Have that purpose there and then rooted into the culture will help you to have a better workforce as well as a productive workforce who will be focusing on one direction and then providing the output that the organization wants as well as the other stakeholders, the customers, then your partners, and even the community, because we spoke about these industrial cities and how these cities built around companies. Even Silicon Valley is a really good example. Why the momentum and why we have a high quality of life? Because of all the high-tech companies around. And I mentioned I live in Folsom and it's a tech city. Even I can see it's a small city, but the quality of life coming with the tech companies that we have in the city. So I think it's a wider range of different type of stakeholders and how you can generate that value through the culture that you built inside the organization.
So I want to ask you a question and put you on the spot a little bit. And I want to dig into the answer of why. But if you were to say, let's put a number on it, like what percent responsible is culture for the overall success of the business? 0%. It has nothing to do with the overall success of the business. 100% has everything is completely responsible for the success of the business. Where would you put it on that spectrum?
Yeah, I would say it's around 75 to 80%. It's culture because you are using the culture for the purpose as well. But it's a very high percentage. And when you incorporate some of the processes, policies, and the way we want to operate into the culture, that's where like it becomes a very effective thing as well as carrying a lot of weight about the value that you deliver. So in my opinion, it's a very high percentage.
That's an amazing high percentage, but it doesn't surprise me at all. I talk to a lot of HR professionals. I've had culture conversations with CROs, CEOs, CMOs, and they all agree that it's huge. In your mind, what are the direct benefits to the business? If you didn't have that kind of a culture, what are the things that are like very tangible that you think culture helps us buy?
So I think one thing is the retention, because especially in the tech industry, it's a small like a lifetime that people stay in one organization. People frequently rotate. A main reason is the correct fit, whether is this the correct place for me? So I think that's where it's playing a bigger role here, how you can attract talent, but it's not only attracting, you have to retain them. So once you retain them, then you need to get the maximum out of everybody. What's the contribution and how they can add more value to the organization? So that's where I think it has a direct impact to the business on the value generation. So it's coming on the productivity. And then I'll take one example from the tech industry. People think that the software industry is just like kind of manufacturing stuff, like manufacturing software. But it's not that. Software industry is like movie industry. It's a very creative industry that all the people, the developers, architects, project managers who's working on tech, they have to be very creative to generate these ideas and then deliver it through software. So it has to be creative. So to have and be creative, then there should be an environment for them to be creative. So that's where I think culture coming and playing a role and creating that particular environment for them to be happy and then be innovative and then bring their maximum contribution to the organization.
So you mentioned two big factors there, retention, but then attraction. How in your mind does the culture help you attract the right talent to begin with? And then obviously retain them, understand clearly. How is it part of that attraction?
Yeah, I think especially in the current environment, people are very vocal on social media. As example, especially people in tech, they are in platforms like X, or we used to call it Twitter earlier days. And then LinkedIn is a really good platform. So people post various stuff. And then I think those things are demonstrating about the company. People look for those stuff and it's a community and it's a network of networks. So these messages are going around. And then when people are looking for other opportunities, is this an interesting place for me to work? Hey, these people are doing this stuff. And then whether it is interesting for me. Like that, I think that's where how you can attract good people, and culture can be a part of that attraction and get them some, like, basically highlight the organization for those individuals to apply and then join post with them in their mission.
If I were to ask you an interesting question, and the culture that you've been able to create, we've all been inside of companies that you're like, what is the culture here? It's every man for himself. It's the typical kind of what we think of the corporate company culture. If I were to take your culture that you've created and been a part of, I would just take it away and replace it with the average culture, how would that impact your business starting today?
Yeah, I think so for us, it's more about openness, like how you can have open communication and how you can be transparent with people and how you can have this open door policies, open office spaces. So that's where I think the foundation is coming. So that is resolving a lot of things. From an organization point of view, you need certain roles. And when you have roles, it creates a hierarchy. That's there. But then again, how people can go beyond these hierarchies and then how they can communicate well. As an example, at WSO2, even an intern who joins, they can talk to the CEO without any issue. An intern, if they have an idea that they can bring to the product development, they can easily bring that. There are no barriers, and there's a framework for them to bring those ideas. So I think, as I said earlier, you can just tell we have open communication, we have open door policies, but if it is not practical, then it doesn't work. So how you can make those statements, but make it a reality and then operate in that way, and everybody kind of believe on it and then act on it, is the key thing. So I think that's the one difference that we see about the culture we have. And another thing that I would like to highlight, understanding the competition is outside, not inside. Because sometimes organizations, they compete with each other internally and then just wasting a lot of time. But if you look at it, actual competition is outside by you competing with each other. Then I think people operation, they do have a bigger role there to have an environment that people don't compete with each other internally. Rather, the career paths are clear and then people have enough opportunities for them to take and get advantage out of it. So that's a main thing. I think to do that, you need to have that particular environment. And if I go in detail about it, most of the time, how you can be successful in your career comes with the management role. A lot of people think, how many people reporting to me, giving the power as well as giving the value that you are generating. I think that's wrong, because if you just stick to that, then number of people who can be on those management roles are limited, then it's blocking. And individual contribution or individual contribute is another career path. When you have an environment that, yes, you have the management roles as well as you have the individual contributor roles, then you don't have any problem. Then people not fight for these management roles. Some people will take that path and some people will take the individual contributor role. And the individual contributor is also treated in the equal manner. So I'll take one example. I used to work for a tech company in Ireland, in Dublin. They are the principal engineers, very senior principal engineers who was working as an engineer for 20, 30 years. And they had the equal kind of respect, like a CTO, chief architect, that level of roles. When they come to a meeting room, people were highly respected them. And then they had a say inside those meetings. And I noticed that there are junior engineers, even I was a junior engineer at that time. And we want to be that principal engineer, that only the management person. So I think those are like part of the things that you can create to have a different culture and then more kind of an effective culture within the organization. So these are examples that you can't create culture based on a cookie cutter approach. That's why like it's rooted inside how you operate and what you want to achieve from your organization.
You gave great examples of Steve Jobs or Elon Musk and setting culture. Absolutely. Huge personal brands and different things. I've also talked to a lot of HR executives that say, you don't own your own culture. The culture is the people. And they do a lot of work to understand what the employees want the culture to be and have a voice in that culture. Where is HR's role in all of this? This whole podcast is about culture and in alignment with HR, and which I know you don't like calling it HR, people operations, but what's the role of people operations in the culture in your mind?
So I think they are the one who facilitate it, and they are the one who encourage it, and they are the one who communicate this, because there are stuff like when a new person joining, how you can have an onboarding process properly for them to understand the culture, adapt to it, and then be part of that. Because the problem or the disadvantage of a good culture, if you don't quickly adapt to that, then you will get rejected as well. And that's a part that the people operations have, how you can quickly get them have understanding and then make it part of that. And then communicate it as well as educate people and then have different type of activities and create a supporting structure for everybody to operate on. That is their main role, and then be ambassadors of the culture as well.
It makes perfect sense. And there's this idea of, is culture, is it fit and uproots from the top or the bottom? Is it rigid policies? Nothing that you've talked about here is about rigid policies. It's about open communication and access. If rigid policies is one, what are the pitfalls that will kill a culture in your mind?
Yeah, I think one thing is basically just put it on the paper and then not practice it work. Then it just become theory. That's the main issue that I see. People are speaking about it. And if you go to their website, it clearly demonstrates it. But then again, when you go inside the organization, you can't find it basically, and it's not practically implemented. So I think that's the main problem. And then again, understanding people, as I explained earlier, now if you take technology, it's a very creative industry. So how you can have policies align with that, have flexible working hours, having working from home. I think working from home, I'll take one example, because it came really popular during pandemic. But as an organization, we used to have working from home for a long time. And based on different type of requirements, people used to work from home at least 1 or 2 days per week, depending on their task and then what they want to focus. So like that, bringing necessary policies and put it based on how you can maximize the productivity rather than making it a barrier or reduce the productivity. The workforce is the key thing. So I think those are like a few things that I can highlight. But then again, how to find that balance is the most important thing. As an example, take one industry like might have to comply with some kind of compliance requirements. Take this ISO or whatever standard that they want to follow. Then there can be certain set of policies that you might have to implement. But then again, clearly communicate why we are doing it. We are doing it because of this reason, because of that particular policy. I think the problem comes when you don't explain why and just putting a policy. So I think that's where people operations can help explaining it. And when people do understand, people know these are not charity. These are like businesses that you want to write, and you have to take care about the data, security, and you need to have operational aspects. And then the business is responsible to deliver value for the stakeholders. All these things are fundamental stuff. So you need to make sure that everybody do understand it and then bring these things in necessary phrases by explaining why, and then it won't be an issue at all.
You talked about an aspect of your culture that I wanted to hear more about, which is obviously you want to attract and retain good people. but you also want to have a culture where you're helping them develop in their careers and actually even building their own personal brands that can seem as it's like a helping them leave. But why is that a good practice? And why is that an important part of your culture?
Yeah, I think personal brand is really important because it is helping the individual as well as it is helping the organization as well. Because people buy experiences, not products per se. And then that's why like you need to have people who you can trust. Having these personal brands will help people to trust you. As an example, in most of the cases, when I go and visit a new prospect, even not a customer, they say, I know you. Then my question is, how do you know me? Then they say, I listened to you in this particular event. You gave a talk. I read your article that you published in Forbes or whatever, the content platform. So it's an easy communication because they have a trust on me before I speak about the product or how we can help them. So I think that's where the personal brands are really important. And if you look at a lot of successful companies, they do have really good personal brands. I think that's why we need to encourage people to do that. That will benefit both ends. And to do that, I think mentoring will be really important because having good mentors will help people to build their career. Like take me as an example, because I was fortunate to have a lot of good mentors in my career, and then they helped me. And if you look at most of the sports teams, so if you can see my background, so Kobe yeah. Bryant is one of my favorite sports characters. And if you look at those kind of players, Kobe, Michael Jordan, all these players were built by coaches. And having a coach like that will be really helpful. So it will help to sharpen the day-to-day work as well as when it comes to the personal brand. It will help the individuals to build a really good personal brand as well. So as you said, sometimes when they have a better brand, they will leave the company. But then again, that's the nature even at our company. If somebody wants to leave and then can build a better career, we encourage them to do that because it's their success. And then even some people, they have gone and built their own companies. And then once they do that, they will become a partner even and then work with us after that because there's a good relationship. And some people might go and join another company and they might become a customer of us. So having these relationships are really good. And we can be really proud that these people did work at this organization and they are doing great in their careers as well. So I think retention is very important, but we can't block people leaving for their career success. And then I think we should encourage, as example, at WSO2 per year, there are a lot of people going for grad school to do their PhDs. And we really encourage them and certain amount of people coming back and rejoining and certain amount of people, they go to other companies and work as well. So it doesn't matter, but we have helped them. And at some point there will be some kind of a contribution and they might recommend other people to join the organization as well.
Makes perfect sense. And I want to keep talking for another hour or so, but I have one last question for you. And that is, we have covered a lot of territory, but if there was one takeaway that you wanted people to remember from this podcast, what would that one takeaway be?
So I think when it comes to people operations, the most important thing is the purpose, because I have seen a lot of people lost as well as they don't know what exactly they have to do. It's like the purpose is not clearly defined. And it has two things. One is, what's the purpose of the individual and what's the purpose of the company? So when these two aligns well, everything works perfectly. Then they will be really happy and they will do their maximum because everybody working on the same purpose. So I think that's where like we have to make sure that purpose is clearly communicated. And understanding their purpose as well, because if we can understand individuals' purpose, then we can guide them to the correct roles within the organization and then get the maximum out of it. As an example, there are some people who move to semi-marketing roles while working, started their career in technical roles because their passion is that. So how to understand that and aligning that is very important. That's why I really like what Simon Sinek is telling about why, purpose, and most of his books and his discussions are about that. It's a very important thing, I think, as an organization and especially people operations that we need to understand.
I have to tell you, I'm pretty sure there's going to be questions that people have. Would it be appropriate that I gave a link out and provided a link to people to your LinkedIn profile that they could reach out to you?
Happy to do that and have a connection as well as a discussion if they want. Yeah, feel free to do that. And I'm happy to connect with anybody who got any additional questions or clarifications.
Fantastic. Thank you, Asanka, for coming on and sharing this perspective. Like I said at the beginning, we don't have a conversation all that often with a chief technology officer on the importance of culture in people operations. To shed and bring in China light on that has been super important. And so just thank you for everything you did today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. And it was an interesting conversation.